Podcast Macabre, Episode 16A, The Stomach Only Tries, by Marge Simon. Welcome to Cast Macabre, I'm Barry, your host. We've had so many great flash fiction submissions recently that it's time for another double flash fiction special. This week, though, we're splitting the episode into two parts, so that the story and author get proper billing in the episode title, and so that our listeners can go back and find the stories more easily. Our first story is The Stomach Only Tries by Marge Simon, a Bram Stoker Award winner. If you haven't heard of the Bram Stoker Awards, there's more information about them on the Horror Writers Association website at horror.org. Click on the link on the sidebar there. Put simply, they are the award for horror in the same way that the Hugo and Nebula Awards are for sci-fi and fantasy. They've even got a category for alternative forms. I wonder if this podcast counts. Marge Baliff Simon freelances as a writer, poet, and illustrator for genre and mainstream publications such as Strange Horizons, Flashquake, Snipplets, Vestal Review, Flash Me Magazine, The Pedestal Magazine, and Dreams and Nightmares. She edits a column for the HWA newsletter, Blood and Spades, Poets of the Dark Side. She is the editor of Starline, digest of the SF Poetry Association. In addition to her poetry, she has published two prose collections, Christina's Well, Sam's Dot Publications 2008, and Like Birds in the Rain, Sam's Dot 2007. She won the Bram Stoker for Best Poetry Collection with Charlie Jacob, Vectors, A Week in the Death of a Planet, Dark Regions Press 2008. A new collection, Unearthly Delights, self-illustrated in colour, is available from Sam's Dot Publications 2009. Visit her website at www.margesimon.com for more information. It's not often we get a Bram Stoker winner on the podcast, so I'm really excited. Now, we've a tale to tell you. The Stomach Only Tries, by Marge Simon. He is dreaming. A beautiful woman stands at the window overlooking the ocean. She wears a gossamer fabric that ripples along her contours like ascending smoke. She is eating a peach. Once I was young like you, Robert. She takes a bite of the peach. My body got the best of me. My loss. You can't fill the empty spirit with food, Robert. The stomach only tries. Her skin is flawless. Her golden curls are swept off her neck in a pearly net. You're very quiet, Robert. Why? His eyes follow the tip of her tongue as she licks the fruit. Three times she asks her question. Three times he can't answer. She finishes the peach, flings the pit at him. Disappears. He is dreaming. He is standing before a rolling mansion. A beautiful woman in a red cape, much darker than her hair, walks toward him. She is telling him something he can't understand. She motions him to come through the courtyard gates. The woman is happy to see him. She wants him to play with her pets. One is grey and one white. He wonders why her ponies are barking. They are too small to ride, so he runs around the yard with them. When he is tired, the grey one comes up to lick his hand. He tries to feed it some grass, but it runs off. She brings him tea and sugared apricots. They make a picnic by an indigo stream. She says it is immortal, the stream. He doesn't know what to say. He smiles, touches her hand. It is a soft hand, but strong. Her nails are immaculate. He likes this. He likes to look at her. Once I was young like you, Robert. She takes an apricot, holds it between thumb and forefinger. Once, before my body got the best of me, my loss. You can't fill the empty spirit with food, Robert. Stomach only tries. You're very quiet, Robert. Why? He watches her tongue flick juice from the fruit. Three times she asks her question, three times he can't answer. She finishes the apricot, flings the pit at him, disappears. He is dreaming. He is running through a forest. Sunlight flickers in and out of the dense foliage as he runs. A clearing forms ahead. As he draws closer, he sees a beautiful woman bathing in a pond. There is an aura over this pond. The air is alive with pebbled light. The woman nods his way and rises from the water, smiling. "At last you found me," she says. "I've been waiting so very long." Before he can speak, she is in his arms. Her hair smells like golden apples. "Once I was young like you, Robert. It is a whisper." She plucks an apple from the air, nestles it under her chin. Once before, my body got the best of me. Her lips tease the apple. Her teeth are so white, so sharp. "You're very quiet, Robert. Why?" He watches her teeth dig into the apple. He tells himself this is a wondrous thing, this woman, this apple. Three times she asks the question, three times he cannot answer. She frowns. "I'm so sad for you, Robert." She opens her mouth. It is a very large mouth that becomes wider as he stares. In this forest he could see no horizon until now. It is lined with razor teeth. In his nostrils, the smell of decaying fruit. Once again, my body gets the best of me, Robert. It's rare that a piece gives me shivers, but this one did. Aside from the beautifully crafted language, I like the imagery and repetition in this piece. There's a real build-up of nightmarish foreboding, a sense of evil underneath a veneer of calmness and beauty. When I read this piece, I truly felt the inducement of confused, dreamy fear one often feels in a nightmare. Horror isn't just about blood and gore, the shocking. In most horror films, outrageous splatter gore is just funny, and that has its place, but horror can also be about fear and terror. Pure fear is not knowing what is real and what's not. Doubting one's sanity, having one's foundations and assumptions challenged. It is the fear you felt as a young child, back when you hadn't yet figured out the boundary between the real and the imagined, when you were convinced a werewolf lived in your wardrobe, even though you never once saw it there, when you were frightened to look in the mirror too long in case your reflection did something different. It is the fear of the dark, of the hand coming out from under the bed to grab your ankle. It is the fear we learned to consign to the corners of our minds as we grew up. But it's still there, lurking, ready to be brought to the surface by pieces like this.